Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into In the Arms of the Angels, hosted by Dr. Kai McNeil on Spiritual Connections Radio.
All right, Connie, you're all set. It's we're on with Connie, and she's doing another great show as she does every day of this. Get my time slot ready. Thursdays from 8 to 9 p.m. There we go. You can tune in here every week, and it's always great to have you on, Dr. Connie.
Yes.
Got a little tongue tied there.
All right. Okay, so I'm just going to jump right in and get started. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, very cool. I'm just going to remind anyone who's listening in that at the 8:30 part of the show, from 8:30 till right before 9 o'clock, if you'd like to call in, then you can receive a free angel card reading. And most of the people who receive readings are very grateful to the angels and are very astounded at sometimes the accuracy that they're going through a particular issue, or they have a particular mindset, and the card will flip over that will correspond exactly with what they're going through. So I find the cards to be very nurturing. I find them to be very accurate. And I know that the angels are so wanting to stay in contact with us and be part of our lives. And that sort of leads me into, I had an interesting kind of an aha this week. I was at Barnes & Noble and was looking at row after row after row of self-help books and psychology books and books on angels and books on how to manifest whatever it is you want to manifest. And it seems to me that we have all this information, and that if we pick up a book, any answer to any question we have is just a mere few pages away. Why are we all still struggling so hard with disappointment and doubt and wanting everything faster than what's being given to us? So I know that, and I know that the angels want me to be part of an awakening for people to really look at the inside and what's going on with us and the blocks that we have that keep us from manifesting what it is we want. I can read, there's some outstanding books and brilliant people and really, really great reads out there. And I'm certainly not saying don't read them, because the information in there is priceless. But if I'm not at a point where I can receive the information, or I can hear it but I can't apply it because, oh, I have this and I have that, and I come up with 47 excuses why I can't do whatever, then the book is only going to be as good as the way that I can absorb the information and use it in my life. So I wanted to do something this evening, and if you are listening live, I would like you to be able to go somewhere where you might be by yourself, a bit more quiet. And for those of you that are listening through archive, please prepare yourself and do the same. Because I'd like to do a visualization, and I'd like to introduce you to something that you may not be aware of. I'm kind of just chatting a little bit so that you guys can get where you need to be. But I would like to have you close your eyes. And I want you to take some deep breaths. If you can, it would be helpful if you could sit straight up to in a chair so that you have your feet planted on the floor. I find that it's so helpful for me to help me ground. If I can imagine roots coming out of the bottom of my feet and going down and connecting with the energy of Mother Gaia in the earth. And I draw that energy up through my body. And I let the energy go through my crown chakra up to Metatron, who is above us. And I allow the energy from Metatron to come back down into me. And so it's just a flow of going into Mother Earth, moving that energy up through my body, giving it to Metatron, who is going to transmute it into what I need, and then bringing that energy back down into my body. So anytime that you're meditating, anytime that you're feeling kind of off and you don't really quite, you're not comfortable with where you are right now, do some grounding breathing, and I think you'll find that it would be very, very helpful for you. So take some deep breaths, close your eyes, and every time that you exhale, I want you to imagine that you're drawing roots from the bottom of your feet, and they're going down, and they're finding a source of energy, a source of nurturing and water and food and everything that a living being would need to sustain itself. And as you inhale, I want you to inhale all of that beautiful, wonderful nurturing and sustenance up through the roots and into your body. And just feel the relaxation or the tingling or the whatever goes on with you as you pull this wonderful nurturing power into yourself. And it may take several breaths, but you will start to feel the energy go up your spine, and it hits every chakra on its way up. And then if it hits your crown chakra, you can almost see it coming out of the top of your head and going straight up to the sky. And then you're going to feel it coming back down, and the energy courses through yourself as it goes back down into your body, into Mother Earth. And take some deep breaths as you feel yourself kind of suspended in between the power of what is below you and the power of what is above you. And I'm going to say a brief prayer that will surround now the sides of you so that from every direction you are surrounded by the angels, and you're surrounded by guardians who are going to hold you in sort of a suspended space while we do this meditation. So if you would just pray with me, please. I look to the north by the power of air. I pray that Archangel Michael would please be there. I look to the south by the power of fire. It is Uriel's presence that I desire. I look to the west by the power of water. It is sweet Raphael's presence I desire in good order. I look to the east by the power of earth. Come to me, Archangel Gabriel. You are of great worth. Lord Metatron above us and Mother Gaia below, please guide me and fill me and surround me with your love and your light. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Only love and light are present here. All else be gone. Thank you. So now I want you to feel yourself suspended by the power and the majesty of those that surround you, and came because they truly love you and want you to get the full extent of this exercise. So they are there to guide you. They are there to love you, and part of this is going to be a tough love, so that you can see what it is that holds you back from living the abundant life that we are all meant to live. So what I'd like for you to do is, in the power and in the security and in the comfort of these loving beings, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to take three deep breaths. And when you open them, when you open your eyes after the breaths, when you open your eyes, you are going to see a wall. So I'd like for you to breathe deep into your belly. And then as you exhale, you're just blowing all of the tension out of your body, and you're setting an intention, and you're setting a goal, and you're asking the angels to open your spiritual eyes and see what lies before you. So open your eyes and look at this wall. This is the wall that holds you back from living the life, that the true life that the angels have for you. This is not an opportunity to be a victim. This is not an opportunity for beat up. The structure that you see in front of you can actually be used as a springboard to propel you into moving along on your path and your journey in a much quicker way, and in a way that you will understand what it's like to be stuck and what it's like to look at the things that hold you back, so that you have empathy and you have love and understanding for other people who are not as fortunate as you, because you're looking at your wall. You know it's there. Others do not. So take a look at your wall. How high is it? What's it made out of? Some of you have grown flowers. You have made it look attractive. It's something that you didn't really want to look at or pay attention to or deal with, so you prettied it up. With some of you, it may have thorns or thickets around it. Some of you may have, who've been working on yourselves for a while, your wall may not be that high. For those of us that are just starting out, it may be so high that it just seems like it's insurmountable. But everybody still has some sort of a wall. There's still some sort of resistance. So I just want you to take a look at where you're at. Again, this is not an opportunity for beat up, not an opportunity to, you know, beat yourself down or kick yourself. What you have, it just is what it is. So what I want you to do, and I will share with you, that the first brick that I, now mine was made out of, mine is made out of rectangular stones. They're all, it's a smooth wall. The blocks I can pick up, but they're heavy and they're black and they are dense. So the walls that I have set up, I have done a really good job of really protecting myself from hurt, protecting myself from taking a risk. So even though I say I'm ready and let's go for this, I still find that I have fear that I have to overcome, and a number of things that the angels really want me to look at. So with the angels surrounding you, I want you to pick up the first block or stone or whatever it is that you construct your wall. And I want you to take a look at it. Hold it in your hands. Really get an opportunity to take a look at one of the things that keeps you blocked. My block, my first stone was my own worth and value. That how could the angels ask me to do anything when I didn't feel good enough or worthy enough to be able to pursue a life driven by the angels and moving toward letting my star and letting my light shine. So one of the first blocks that I had was my own self-worth. So whatever your block is, just hold it. Just hold it in your hand for a little bit. And I really want you to get in touch with the feelings and the emotions behind whatever resides in that stone or rock or block or whatever it is. Now I want you to take the block and I want you to put it down beside you, because what you are going to do is now construct a pathway. And you are going to take the things that once held you back and you are going to line a walkway to your future. And once you start taking the wall down, the first two or three, maybe four blocks may be really big issues for you. I want you to know that once you take these first few blocks down, two things will happen. Number one, you will be able to see what's on the other side, and you're going to find that it's a very exciting view. And you're going to know that there actually is something on the other side of the wall. And it's going to propel you to want to bring the wall down faster. So the first few blocks, once you start taking them down and lining your walkway with them, you'll find that the rest of the wall tends to come down pretty quickly. So you're going to use that stone. And what I do is I even picture myself stepping on the stone and raising myself up a little bit off the ground, because I want to pull the strength out of my feelings of low self-worth. It's pulling a strength within me to say, I choose not to believe that anymore. And it's the strength of facing the feelings within the stones that are going to move you forward. As a clinical psychologist, I would be honored to be able to work with anyone who looks at the stone and feels that it's bigger than they can handle. My website is currently under construction, but you can always email me at drckmcneil@gmail.com. That's Dr. C. K. McNeil, drckmcneil@gmail.com. I would be honored to be able to walk with anyone who would need support as they take their wall down. One of the reasons I wanted you in the cocoon with your angels is that you feel angelic support while you look at your fear, and you look at old mindsets, and you look at things that have blocked you back, and that you are very aware of your wall, and that every day you get to come back to your wall and you get to remove another stone. Some days may be little bitty pebbles. Other days may be huge boulders. But every day you get to take down part of the wall. And if it would help you envision, I remember when President Reagan was telling the leaders in what was still the Soviet Union to take down that wall, and the celebration of the people there as they started, first it came off little by little, and then all of a sudden big chunks of the wall started coming down. And you can celebrate with the angels the deconstruction of the wall, because as you if you're like me, I feel like a racehorse in the little thingies that they're in right before the race starts, and I'm wanting to kick the stall, and I want to go, and sometimes the angels are saying, well, yeah, okay, but you got to wait just a little bit because there's still some things that are blocking you, or still some things you are holding on to that keep you from moving forward at the rate you would be able to if you were free of some of this stuff. So you, one of the things that may be helpful for you is when you go into your, a place by yourself, and when you look at your stone or your brick or whatever it is, and you place it on your path and your walkway, later on that day, hopefully soon after you remove the brick, write a letter to it. Dear stone or brick or whatever it was, and tell the brick that you can thank it for being a part of your life, because at one point in time it did protect you in a moment in your life, or a time in your life when you were feeling vulnerable or unsure. For those who have suffered abuse or have been through significant trauma, have lost loved ones, or gone through serious medical issues, those that are survivors of rape and incest, at one time, the wall served you. So these are not necessarily bad things. They're a part of you because at one time you needed them, but you don't need them now. So it would be an option when you write your letter to thank the stone for the part that it played in your life, and that you no longer need it. But you would like to use what you learned, because anything that you brought into your life, you did learn a lesson from it. So I learned that I needed to back away because the world is not safe. now my new lesson is I know with the care and the guidance of the angels, I can move forward to something along that line. So you're acknowledging that it's there. You're thanking the what you have in your hand as a something that served you at one time. And you give the stone, give the energy in the stone to your angels to transmute the energy to something that is loving and kind and giving and serving of others as opposed to fear and something that holds you back. And lovingly place it on your pathway. Take the letter, find a non-flammable bowl, and I want you to burn it. And I want you to watch your offering go up to the angels. As a celebration of moving one step forward. And sometimes that's all we can handle, and sometimes that's all we get is one step at a time. But I think you will find that you will feel a shift and a change. And it's when you really celebrate that part of your life that you went through, but you now no longer need it because you've grown, kind of helps to love yourself a little more. Kind of helps to look at the, you know, your neighbor who continues to be blocked and understand that they continue in behaviors that may not serve them because they haven't chosen or it's not the right time for them to look at the wall. So the angels want you and want us to know about them, their names. They want us to know about what they do in our lives. But this is like book knowledge. You can only go so far with, okay, great, I know Archangel Michael, and I know he's the protecting angel, and I know he's his halo color is blue, and I know that I can envision blue and call upon I get all that. But unless I actively do something with all of that knowledge, then the knowledge kind of just sits there and rolls around and doesn't do anything. So by taking your wall down and by actively calling on the angels to say, I'm ready to move forward and remove these blocks that hold me back, then the angels have something to work with, and they stand ready and willing when you call on them to be at a point where we can move and see shifts and changes in our life. So we are right at the half hour mark. Are you there? Hello?
Yeah, I had to actually unmute the phone. There we go.
Okay.
All right, everybody, you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. If you want to find out more about this radio show and other radio shows, you can go to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And you are listening to Dr. Connie. She is on every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you miss any part of the show or want to listen to any of her other shows, go to our website, click on the link for the show, and you can get access to the archives where all the shows are available for replay. And back to you.
Okay, thank you. I'm gonna share. Sometimes when I do this and I'm what you're going to find when the angels know you're really serious about moving forward and you're doing your work, then they're going to give you little nudges, and the nudges may not make sense, but I really feel inspired to tell you guys a fairy tale, so I'm going to tell you a fairy tale. Back in the day, when the Grimm's brothers and Aesop and Hans Christian Andersen and all these people were putting together stories, they were actually putting together folklore, and they were putting together lessons. And they were putting together lessons in a way that people could understand them. And it was something that not only did this village get the story, but the, you know, 10 villages away, they got the same story. So it had to be something that was general enough and something that people could grasp, because so many people back there didn't read and write. This was the way that they passed knowledge on from one another. And I love Walt Disney. I have 4 daughters. I've gone through just about every Disney movie ever made multiple times. I still go through them. My 2 youngest are teenagers, and we still go see Disney movie because they're great. They're wonderful, and they're entertaining. But they've kind of watered down a little bit the import and the lesson of some of the meaning of the story. And as I was thinking about the wall, and I was thinking about staying behind the wall and being stuck, I kept coming up with the image of Sleeping Beauty. And if you will remember, she was a princess, and she was cursed by a wicked witch that said she was going to prick her finger on a spinning wheel and she was going to die. And these other good little fairies came in and you know, one had given her beauty and one had given her a good nature, and you know, one other one was just about ready to bestow her gift when the wicked queen came in, a wicked witch came in and cursed her. So the next fairy came in and said, she's not going to prick her finger and die, but she's going to prick her finger and go to sleep. And she's going to sleep until her Prince Charming comes to rescue her. So, of course, they burn all the spinning wheels, and they put her, you know, they try to the best they can to protect her, but as fate would have it, she does prick her finger and she does go into a sleep. This is what we must understand. When we're not walking on our path and we're not following our journey, it's like we're asleep. And the people in the village at the time of these tales being written, they knew that. They understood that. So what the angels want us to understand is it is time to wake up. And we want to take the easy way out, and we want to read a good book, and we feel like that we've, you know, done our part because we've read Angels, you know, Angels on High or whatever. But if we don't take the message and we don't internalize the message, then it's as if we are as asleep as Sleeping Beauty. And in the story, the longer she slept, the more the wall built up. Not only did the wall build up, because they, of course, at the time they had the big, thick castle walls anyway, but thorns and thickets, there was even a fire-breathing dragon. So we can so want to protect ourselves that we can put so much around us that it's very, very difficult for us to move forward. Of course, in these stories, the handsome prince or the whoever, usually is a handsome prince, does show up and slay the dragon and cut through the vines and the thorns and whatnot to wake her up. And I'm wondering for you, who would that be? Who would be the person, place, or thing that would come in and cause a shift for you? I think, because of course we all want the handsome prince or the beautiful princess or the whatever, you know, to come and save us. But I think the prince is our desire. I think the prince or the princess or the savior or the rescuer is that little piece of us that says, I am so done with living such a mundane life, or living a life that always feel like I'm just two steps away from where I really want to be. And once the desire hits, that's when the dragon can get slayed. Because in a lot of stories, the dragon actually represents us, and it represents that piece of us, that ego piece of us, not the pride ego, but the ego that wants to feed off of our fear. So it's the desire to say, I want something different. And when we call on the angels, every angel in heaven, every ascended master, which would be Jesus or Kuan Yin or Moses or Muhammad or Buddha or some righteous individual that has walked the earth before, and someone that you would have a natural kind of affinity to, every ascended master, every your loved ones, the whole universe comes to your aid when you say, I am ready. And you will see things shift, and you will find a strength in you that you didn't know you had, because the desire is going to be there to be and do something different. I read a very interesting account of Abraham Lincoln, who I've always found, he's always fascinated me. If he were alive today, he would be diagnosed with major depression. There were actually moments in his life when they had to take sharp objects away from him. He would become that depressed. He would have thoughts of not wanting to live. He had a nervous breakdown at one point and was bedridden for a few weeks. He openly talked about being melancholy and being sad, and never really tried to hide it from the historical accounts that I've read. And he wanted to make, because one of the things that spurred him on was, I don't want my legacy to be that of depression. I don't want my legacy to be just a mundane or a sad, sad struggle. And this is a guy, I mean, he lost his mother at age 9. He lost a fiance. He failed in 2 businesses. He was bankrupt. He lost in about 28 years, he lost about 8 significant elections. So, you know, the guy he had 4 children, only one lived to adulthood. He didn't have a very easy life. But he wanted more than his legacy to be a depressed man who didn't have very many successes. And according to accounts, that's what spurred him to and gave him the courage and gave him the resolve to pass the Emancipation Proclamation, which was the order to Congress to free the slaves. And sometimes in our awakening, and sometimes in our journey, the angels are not going to remove something that's in our path. Because the only way to overcome it is just to learn how to deal with it. Lincoln was depressed till the day he died. And they didn't have Prozac. So you can imagine what it was like to, you know, not have medication. We all want the quick fix. This is a instant mashed potato, instant camera, package cake mix world. And for those of you that are parents like me, try teaching, you know, perseverance to your kids when they have a cell phone. It's an art, and it's a choice that when put in a situation that I can't do anything about, I create something out of it instead of wondering why things can't be different. So as you're emerging from your sleep, and as you are emerging from your castle that's been overgrown with thorns, and as you slay your dragon, it's with the intention of, this is what I want to bring to this world. And knowing that God and the angels will support you with that, but not necessarily that they're going to take all the hard stuff away or give you what you want when you want it. Even when you come and say, hey, I've done my part, where are you guys? Even in those moments, it's in those times when we have to dig our feet in and decide what it is we want to create, when we're in those moments when we don't necessarily have everything, we're not through the fire, we're still in the fire. So your learning opportunities are not going to be when you've passed through whatever it is. It's while you're in the middle of it. So be aware and go back to your path and go back to your wall. And if you find you've put bricks on the wall, take them down again. Because it's those, it's the perseverance of looking at yourself and looking at what you want to create that's going to propel you to do great things. So, Mark, what do you do when you're in a situation? Are you there? Are you unmuted?
Yes, I am.
What do you do when you're in a situation where you've done all you're supposed to do and you're still kind of having to wait for the angels to do their part?
Well, if you're talking about me personally, I don't have a lot of patience, so that's always an interesting way of looking at it. You know, at least one of those things about, you know, teaching what I teach to people and then, you know, really understanding that I have to kind of follow my own teachings. And, you know, with that, I would say that, you know, you have to surrender and let go of any of attachment to the outcome. I think it's because most of the time, you know, you have an expectation of how something is supposed to show up. You want to see something come a certain way. And I think you have to realize that, you know, the universe is going to deliver it to you in whatever way they think is best for you. And that might not look like what you're thinking. So I think surrendering, I think, you know, basically just kind of putting your faith out there to say, you know, I'm just going to see what happens. And I saw a really beautiful, I was actually cruising through Facebook as I was listening to the show, and it was a really interesting poster. I think it came from a quote from one of the books, and I always think, is it The Peaceful Warrior? I always forget what it's called, the book.
Yeah.
The Way of the
actually
Peaceful
have it,
Warrior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was a saying, I don't know if it was there or there was something else I caught, but it basically said that great things are coming down the road, so don't stop walking. And I really like that quote, I think, because it talks a lot about it that, first of all, I think, you know, if we talk about laws of attraction and what we learn from different teachers, we know that you have to show up and put your own energy into something. So, you know, if you're looking for a new job, you need to put the resumes out. You need to actively do it besides doing all the affirmations and the spiritual work of manifesting. You know, you have to physically show up and make something happen. You can't just sit back and expect that something's going to land in your lap. I mean, it would be beautiful if that's the way everything works, but, you know, you have to kind of put your energy into it. And I think when that comes into play a lot, it really is kind of talking about the fact that, not that there needs to be tests, but it's almost like, you know, the universe sometimes wants to test us to say, you know, do you really want this? And if you do, are you showing up and are you putting your effort into it?
You know, it's interesting when you were talking about that poster that I read a book a long time ago called Don't Park Here. And it not only talks about the people that are struggling, but it also talks about the people, because there are going to be some listening to this show, either now or archived, and they're going to say, oh, well, I've done all that. I've taken down my wall, and I've constructed my path, and I have the job, and I have the, and you know, they can write down all their accolades. And my statement to them would be the same thing. Don't park here. Great, you've done that. Now what? So wherever you are on your journey, it's like, okay, good. Now what? Now what are you going to do? Now what's your next step? Now what do you want to create? So it's the evolving of it's the creation of more energy that keeps the planet moving. And what we want to do is create, because we're always creating energy, because we're energy and we can't not stop doing that. But it's what we're creating in a very mindful way. So I want one of the best ways to create the energy that you want would be to focus on other people. And anything you want to create, how can other people be blessed by what it is you do? And the more we focus out, I find that if I'm stuck somewhere in a particular mood or a particular place on my journey and nothing seems to be going right, if I can focus on somebody else, I'm automatically unstuck. I remember I was a standing of mine in Dunkin' Donut, and I stepped out to do something, look at the vending machine or something, and I came back in and I had stepped back into line and I saw the woman behind me, and she made this face because I guess she thought I had stepped in front of her. So when I got to the line, up front of the line, and I placed my order, I just said, and whatever she's having. The look on her face and the energy within her shifted 120% for a $2 cup of coffee. So if in making, I get to go out every single day and make a conscious choice to what it is I want to create. Because we talk about I want to create, I want to manifest my business, and I want to manifest my relationships and you know, my books and my whatever. And I do it too, so I'm right there with you, and as we should. But on a minute level, on a daily basis, what do I want to create every single day? How do I want to make one person happier? How do I want to interact with my family so that they know that they're loved, or that they're cared for, or that they're important, or they matter? And it's a conscious choice, moment by moment, of what I want to create, not in the grand scheme of things, but in that very moment. That's a lot of the times what's going to shift us from how come I feel stuck, or how come I don't feel like the angels are doing whatever. But if I see a result on somebody's face because, you know, I chose to focus on this individual to help them have a better day, then I've moved in my journey, and I've shifted, and I move and I shift, and I move and I shift. And then all of a sudden, I have days where everything flows really fast, and so I have days when nothing flows. Seems to be like nothing's worth. But if I'm focused out on others, and I'm making a conscious choice because I choose to make the world a more loving place, so how today do I get to be loving? And in my choice of creating a more loving world, how do I work my job in that, and my relationships in that, and my finances in that, and my faith in God in that? How do I do that? So it's not a, oh, I'm just going to sit here until God gives me, like you said, Mark, you know, I'm going to fill out my resumes and wait for the universe to slot me in the right place, because I'm going to certainly do my part. But I think the universe also wants us to be moment by moment conscious of our relationship with other people, and our relationship with ourselves, and our relationship with the earth. So that when I have the job, or I have the relationship, or I have the money, I am prepared for it, because I've done the little teeny, itty bitty baby steps to get there. A lot of the times the universe is not going to hand me $1 million, because I may not know how to handle $1 million. And so why would the angels want to put me in a position that's going to cause me stress, or put me in, just give me something I can't handle? Unless I've prepared myself. And a lot of the times it's in the minute little step by step. What today do I want to create? What in the next hour? What in the next 5 minutes? What in the next, how do I want to create a better relationship with the person at the next desk, or my neighbor, or the, you know, person above me that's really loud and I can't stand them? How do I get to be loving toward them? So those are the things that, as we're taking down the bricks from our wall, when we're focused on other people, and I know that I'm important enough that I can make a difference in the world, I can start taking down these little pebbles and lining my path, and then the bricks will come down a lot easier when the mortar that holds the brick isn't there. So it's taking down the mortar, and it's taking down the bricks at the same time. So you can call on the angels. Again, this is not a solo journey. When you are in a place where you want to, when you want to do the big things, but you also want to focus on the small things, call on Archangel Raphael. because he helps touch not only people but also animals. One area that we don't talk much about in here, and I know I've only got a couple more minutes, but fairies. The fairies are alive and well and are part of the nature world. So if you don't feel like you can make a difference with a person, make a difference in nature. Plant a garden, plant a flower, beautify your home some way. Give flowers. But you will find in nature, you will find the fairies, and they are in the hierarchy. There's the humans and then the fairies, and then you start with the guardian angels. So the fairies can be a very powerful conduit, and we forget a lot of time about taking care of the earth and the animals, whether they're wild or domestic, because we're so worried about the next big thing that we're going to do. So a lot of the times the angels want us just to start very small. And when we start with the small stuff, then it grows exponentially. So my intention to change is my start. My listening to that nudge from the angels is my second step. And it could be anything from buying a rose and giving it to a random person to, you know, picking up trash on the side of the road. So it's a very beautiful journey, and it's a very humbling journey, and it's to be one with the angels and in concert with the fairies is pretty powerful thing. So, Mark, I'm going to give it back to you, and you can do the closing little piece if you are so inclined.
All right, sounds good. So, everybody, you've been listening to Dr. Connie and Into the Arms of the Angels. She is on every Thursday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. You can find out more about this show and other radio shows at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. As we mentioned earlier, Dr. Connie's website is under construction right now. So the link that's up on the website will not be working for a little bit. But Dr. Connie, can you go ahead and give out your email again? I know you said if anybody wants to contact you for services, they can reach you through email.
Absolutely. It's drckmcneil@gmail.com. That's drckmcneil@gmail.com.
All right. Sounds good. Good night, Dr. Connie, and we'll say good night to everybody. And thank you for tuning in to another great show.
Thanks.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.